Who Jesus is and what Jesus did, and either reject him publicly and vehemently, as some people do, I don't want anything to do with God, or just choose to choose everything else in a way you choose to reject him, the Bible is saying that you become a child of the devil. Can you imagine that? But you look around and you see so many things going on in our world, and that's the problem. We want to look at a person, a position, a thing, and we say, how can they do that? Why are they doing that? We need to understand. So the Bible has already told us that Satan's got his eyes. We look there in the book of Job as Satan was going up and down through the earth, and he's looking at the children, looking who he can have. So he wants the children. They become his children, and they'll do his lying. They'll do his murdering. They'll do all that he'd have them to do. But then we come today, and the passage I read you here in 1 Peter chapter 5 is talking about a third group of children. So the Bible says that he is looking at our children, he wants them, and every child, God loves us, he loves our children enough that every child gets to make the choice to accept God or not. And when their child does not accept God, they become Satan's child and turn over to him and have the opportunity throughout their entire life that Jesus Christ has an outstretched hand, they come back to him. Amen? So it's wonderful, it doesn't have to stay that way. But there's a third group of children the Bible is talking about. Is this group of children here that God is warning, and that's the children of God. Now think about it for a moment. So we've got just our children that are young and they're innocent, and we're doing everything we can. That's what we're doing in our homes. That's what we're doing in Sunday school. That's what we'll be doing in Bible school this summer. We're pouring all the knowledge of God we can, and we want our children to become a child of God, become his children, and not be living for Satan as the father, as happens so often in our world. But to think this morning what God is warning, you have to understand that this passage is being directed to Christians. So God is giving this warning to us, to God's children. He's letting us know that Satan sees God's children, and Satan has some unique attacks that he wants to put on his children. Amen? I really believe, and I often tell anyone that gets saved, whether we're sitting in my office or sitting in a home, down here at the altar, wherever it may be, out in the woods as I've been before, you can get saved anywhere, praise God, amen? That I tell them that once you receive Christ, once Jesus Christ comes into your heart, you become a child of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You become one of God's children. You become one of the elect. You're his child, and you're fully protected in everything, all the promises of his word, and all that's available, and all that he's called, and his plans for your life become part of what is your life's plan. And Satan, I tell anybody that gets saved, I say, but Satan has this in mind. He sees you. He sees that you're a child of God, and what he determines to do, I believe, is give you all the hell he can till the day you die, because he knows he can't have you eternally. That's why you look around so often, you look at people that are lost, they don't know Jesus, they don't live for him, they live in the world, but they seem to be blessed, and things seem to go well. They can even sometimes seem healthier than you are, than a child of God, and they can seem wealthier than you are, and everything's been going fine. And that's because ultimately, Satan sees them as they are as a child, and he knows he'd rather them just go, Chris, go on down the way, and enjoy the money, and enjoy the fun, enjoy the world, enjoy everything, because there's coming eternity time that he has. But when he sees you as a child of God, he looks at you and says, I've got a limited time. I've only got a limited time to tempt you, to have effect upon you. But I just almost wanted to jump out of the pew during the early praise this morning, because God, I believe the Spirit was reminding me, and all this we look at Satan, seeing our young children, how scary that is, and realizing that we know people that really he's their father, they're living for him, amen. And then to know today that he's got his eyes on us with special attacks and special things. Listen, glory, hallelujah, nowhere in the Bible does God tell us to fear him. Jeremy Church? Nowhere in the Bible does God say that we are to fear him, that we have to fear him, that there's anything we had to fear of him. He gives us warnings and instructions. We need to understand that Satan knows this, and we need to understand what he's talking about. So look with me, if you would, there, beginning in verse 8. So he's not saying, be afraid, oh, Satan's going to get my child. That's not there. He doesn't say, oh, what do I do to that loved one that's given their life? They're just serving him. He's their father. What do I do as a Christian? Oh, I'm scared of this. There's absolutely, but what he says is to be sober. It's an idea of a seriousness, to take him serious. He is an enemy, the Bible tells us. I read a quote, and I think I may have shared it the other Sunday, as kind of an introduction to this idea of Satan looking at us as his children. It says he's a formidable enemy. We must never joke about him. ignore him or underestimate his ability. We must be sober and have our minds under control when it comes to our conflict with him. Amen? We've all done it. Amen, Marty? We've all made a joke about Satan. I've told y'all before that I've got video, and it is locked up. It's unavailable to any of y'all. But there's video of me, and it was a Halloween time. So we're at Fairfield Baptist Church out there in the Long Sunday School building, and we all dressed up to come there. And pray for my mom and daddy. I don't know what was wrong with them. I guess I was backslid during that time in their life. But you know what I was dressed up like? I was dressed up like the devil. I had the devil face, that little, you know, the little thin mask, and I had a red cape on, and I'm running around during that church event. It's on video, amen? And we even kind of laugh now, but what God is saying, we need to be sober about it. It's really not something to joke about. And that's what happens. The world wants us to think of this, you know, this creature out of the movies. You know, either some scary, you know, dastardly, you know, horns and red and breathing fire and all, or just the image of a forked devil and all those things. But listen, church, that's not what the devil is. That's not who the devil is. He was one of the archangels. He's an angel. Y'all realize that? He's an angel. And let's go to Revelation 12. Let's just kind of go over Revelation 12. Take some time this morning to get the setting, get an understanding of what happened straight from the Bible. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. In all of the chapter, and I encourage you, we won't take time to read all of this chapter this morning, but I want you to understand and realize kind of the setting and what's going on here in Revelation 12. It says in verse 1, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with sun and the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. It's Israel. It's God's chosen people. It's God's children. We're talking about Satan's attacks this morning. And being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to deliver. It's talking about Jesus being born. It says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Here's Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns in his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as he was born. You find all through the Bible, what were they trying to do? They're trying to kill Jesus. Herod the Great had all children under the age of 2 years old murdered in hopes of gathering up Jesus in that group. You find out throughout the entire Bible, you find Judas betraying through Satan. Satan was using Judas to betray Jesus Christ, all about trying to kill that child. It says in verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up into God, into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. You have to understand this. Satan was an archangel just like Michael. The dragon imagery is the spiritual, it is, if you would, if the spiritual heart of Satan. It's not a descriptive, literal term of what he looked like, but it's a term of how evil he was and what he was doing about in this conflict in heaven. But always remember, he was an angel, and the Bible even tells us on the New Testament, don't be amazed as he transforms himself into an angel of light. Satan comes to you, and he's a good-looking guy. He's a good-looking girl. He's a sharp businessman. He is dressed. He is beautiful before you. And you have to understand is that Satan is the enemy. The one we need to be sober and serious about is it's using anybody that will let that. It is his child, as the Bible says, or anybody that's a child of God that he can get under influence and get them tempted to sin against him. It says there was a war here in heaven. Could you imagine? It says, and prevailed not. Don't miss that. And prevailed not, neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. His angels were cast out with him. Go back with me to 2 Peter chapter 5. And so the picture of that in Revelation 12 is painting for us this war that took place in heaven. And Satan was throughout because simply what Satan wanted is he wanted to be God. He wanted to be in control. He wanted to have his way. And that's an indication. Listen, when we're talking about the children of God, how you can know that once that Satan is after us is this all this conflict we have in the world, and how you can know when he's using us. And even though we're a child of God, he can use us, is when we want to be in control, we're selfish and want our own way. I want to read to you, and it's so amazing, and I stand amazed how often God can do this, but I love Oswald Chambers' devotion, My Utmost for His Highest. Many of you have it. If you don't have it, I encourage you, if you're looking for a good devotion to start or add to your devotion time, it is awesome devotion. And for today, for May 15th, and God knowing what we're going to talk about, let me read you this devotion. It says, the habit of rising to the occasion, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, found in Ephesians 1:8. Now you need to understand that the idea of this habit of rising to occasion is Satan always, if you're not sober and vigilant and understanding how he attacks what he wants to do, we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. You need to understand that God is going to give you the ability in every problem, every opportunity, everything to rise to the occasion and shine bright for him. And Satan will do anything he can to keep you in darkness and keep you back and attack you as a child of God. So my devotion this morning said this: remember that you have been saved so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in your body. Direct the total energy of your power so that you may achieve everything your election as a child of God provides. Rise every time to whatever occasion may come your way. So we're a child of God. Remember, this 1 Peter 5 is being written to Christians. He's not talking about children not saved. He's not talking about the people like the Pharisees who he said that Satan was their father. He's talking to Christians. He's trying to guide us as children of God. The devotion goes on to say, you did not do anything to achieve your salvation. Amen? But you must do something to exhibit it. The Bible tells us in Philippians 2:12 that you must work out your own salvation, which God worketh in you already. There's an old saying about any time you have trouble, whether it's in church or at home or in the business world or at school. Eric, listen, if you're busy rocking the boat, if you're busy rowing the boat, you ain't got time to rock it. Amen? Think about that. That's what this is talking about. If we're working out our salvation and we're doing everything we can to do everything God wants us to, we just don't have time to cause trouble. We don't have time for Satan to use us for the petty stuff that he does. Devotion goes on and says, are your speech, your thinking, and your emotions evidence that you're working it out? You're working out your salvation. Listen to this. If you are still the same miserable, grouchy person set on having your own way, then it is a lie to say that God has saved and sanctified you. God is the master designer. He allows adversities into your life to see that you can jump over them properly. Even the Bible says in Psalm 18:29, by my God, I can leap over a wall. God will never shield you from the requirements of his son or daughter. And one of those requirements are we live in a fallen world and the old Satan is going to be attacking us. Amen? 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. That's found in the chapter preceding what I'm reading you in chapter 5. God is saying we need to understand. Y'all listen, don't look around and say, why am I having this trouble? Why am I going through these trials? The Bible is showing us that Satan identifies us as God's children, so he has some special and unique attacks, and that's going to continue to happen. The end of the devotion says, may God not find complaints in us anymore, but spiritual vitality, a readiness to face anything he brings our way. The only proper goal of life is that we manifest the Son of God, and when this occurs, all of our dictating of our demands to God disappears. Our Lord never dictated demands to his Father. You think about that. And neither are we to make demands of God. We are here to submit to his will so that he may work through us what he wants. Once we realize this, he will make us broken bread and poured out wine which to feed and nourish others. See, the Bible gives us the key. In the Deuteronomy, the Old Testament, and then he moves in the New Testament, he says, love the Lord God with all of your heart and all of your soul. And then he says, love others as yourself. And this idea of being out, taking Christ to a lost world and being a light shining for Christ. And why I encourage you to come to Sunday school, as great as being in a group can be and help you, as much as that group will be there if you have a sickness or you get in the hospital or somebody dies or you're going through a trouble in life, all those great things. Ultimately, our desire is that we so are learning God's word in Sunday school that's allowing us to realize, as James says, not just be a hearer of the word, like hearing a lesson or hearing a preaching message, but that we might go out and be a doer of the word, and that is always about others. And when you're thinking about others instead of ourselves, then Satan has very little opportunity to attack the way he wants to. So back there in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, he's saying, be sober. There's a vigilance to it. He says, we have an adversary. He calls him the devil, a roaring lion, walking about. Best way I've heard that described. Remember, don't fear him. It's not in that context. But the reason he's a roaring lion walking about in this passage is I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he kicked all of his teeth out. Amen. And all he can do is roar. But he can roar, and he is an adversary. He can tempt us. He can do all manner of things to get a hold of us. It's the idea of not yielding to his temptations. He's remembering, always remember this, and always remember that in the wilderness temptation in the Bible, what we find there in Matthew, is that what did Satan do? Satan came after Jesus. Satan came after God's only child. He came to him. He tempted him in several ways. Jesus only responded back with the word of God. He never tried to explain it, rationalize it, teach Satan. He just responded back with the word of God. So I want to ask you something. If Satan will come after the only child of God, what do you think he's going to do with you and I? He's going to come after us with those same temptations. We have an enemy. In the Bible, we find Satan described really mainly as two animals. You find there in the Old Testament, there in the beginning, in the garden, you find Satan as being that serpent who deceives. It's been described this way. What Satan likes to do in our lives is he likes to slip into our lives and slither around. Think about that. That's what the serpent is. He slips in. You know, if you're not careful, you don't even realize how he's slipped into your mind about some thinking. He's slipped into your relationship, your marriage, or something at work or school or church, and you don't even realize. He's just slithering around. My son still loves to tell this story. I have this rack in my garage, and where I keep my shovels and my hose and brooms, and it's just there, and it's about yay high. It's black. It's got some holes in. It's cheap as it can be, but it does a great job. Amen. And I walked over, and I don't know what I was going to grab. As I went to grab, there lay a black snake on that black shelf. And I saw him at the last moment. And I know a black snake can't hurt you. I know all that. But I never have seen a snake I liked. Amen. But what he had done is that black snake had slithered some way or another into my garage when the doors opened, I didn't see, or had slithered through a little crack there under the door, and he had made his way to an area where I was going to get some tools to do some work. Think about that. That's what Satan is always doing. He'll slither in your life. He'll slither in your marriage. He'll slither in your work relationship and church relationships. What he wants to do is he wants to be right there at the very time you're about to strike out and God's going to use you to do some work and you're getting ready to do it. There he is. There he is to scare you, to ask you to think about it. I drew back. Amen. I mean, I immediately drew back. And that's what we do. That's what he's always about doing. He is that serpent. He slips in. He slithers around. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, the Bible says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled, deceived Eve, in other words, through his subtlety, craftiness, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Y'all, the news is just continuing to be full of this craziness of our world. And I said in our Sunday school, let's understand when the executive branch of our government, headed by our president, begins to send letters and decrees down to the public schools in every county of the world. Listen, we don't have a king, y'all, okay? Now, we have a king, Jesus, but we don't have a king in our country. And listen, it's not about bathrooms, okay? That's the distraction. That's the slithering in. But you just wait and see what the ultimate goal that our country seems to be moving toward is for some way or another, some group of people have found a knowledge superior to God's. They know more than God. They don't have the Bible. They know more than us. And the desire is to tell us, in their words would be, us poor, ignorant, backward people, what we need to believe and need to do. And I'll guarantee you one thing, based on the authority of God's word, the answer that we give, and I don't care what law it is, I don't care who said it, I don't care who sends the letter, but if it goes against this word of God, we say no. Amen? and be prepared for it. Satan is distracting us about a bathroom issue, which is ridiculous and which is crazy and which is wrong. Amen? Someone posted, and I showed it yesterday, and I can go check it out. It can be wrong. You can correct me if I have, but that the Food Line in Morrisville, something's going on with the men's bathroom, and it says an all-gender bathroom on the women's bathroom. So my dear wife, she was thinking it's one of them single-stall bathrooms, you know. She said, what's the big deal about that? I said, them bathrooms at Food Line are like the bathrooms at Walmart. And y'all, that's just crazy. That is just ignorant. That is just wrong. Amen? And we have to say no. But don't get so focused on the issue and understand, because I hear it all the time. I can't believe what that president did, and I can't believe what he does either, okay? But the source of this is not the president of the United States. The source of this is not some politician. The source of this is not backward thinking. The source of this is Satan, our adversary, the Bible is telling us, and it is simply not looking at the Word of God. We saw in our Sunday school lesson today, there are several occasions in the Word of God when our people in our world thought the earth was flat, okay? There's several places in the Bible. Sure, what I kept thinking was, that in the Bible, we were looking at Scripture where you could see that God is trying to tell us that the earth is round. Isn't that amazing? But people thought they knew more than God. They thought they knew more than the Bible, and they just simply did not read the Bible. And if you simply read the Bible, you find that homosexuality in the Bible is called an abomination, a word that God reserves only for a few terrible things in the Bible. And I've said it over and over again, y'all. I've been to classes. I've been to two-day retreats on how to share the gospel with someone who's living that lifestyle. And the ones that taught it were a man and woman who had lived that lifestyle for years. They were gloriously slayed by Jesus Christ. They were delivered. And some of the greatest testimonies that you can hear out of any life of salvation of Jesus Christ is somebody that simply lived a lifestyle apart from what God intended. Amen? And you and I have to continually say that in love, amen? In love. We have to continually say that and reach out with the love of the gospel. So he is that serpent. But then here in 2 Peter 5, in this verse 8, he is described as that lion that devours. In other words, it literally translates that he wants to destroy suddenly. It literally, if you look at the word that it comes from in the original language of the Bible, it had this term like to gulp down. So why is God painting this picture of a lion coming to gulp something down? It's the picture of this. Satan does not want to just injure and harm you. Amen? That is not his desire. He wants to completely devour, gulp down, and take anything he can completely away from you. He wants to take your mind. He wants to take your health. He wants to take your peace. He wants to take your marriage. He wants to take your child. That's what his desire. His desire is not to cause you some trouble and aggravation. The Bible is saying that's what his desire is, that's what his goal is. But we need to understand that our victory comes in Jesus Christ. Amen? Our victory comes in him. We need to be, the Bible is saying in this passage I read to you is simply this about him. When you're a child of God, you just need to be alert, be watchful, stay awake. We find that he is trying to paint the picture of if we'll just submit to God, as the Bible says, and resist him, he has to flee away from us. The term that was used about him, of who he is, was like literally meant an illegal opponent, some opponent of somebody in an adversary role in the Bible, an enemy who was you need to take seriously, and he was serious about what he was doing. He was aggressive about what he is doing, and you can see that, amen? His agenda is being pushed. They say now that we live in what's called a post-modernism time in our country where there's no absolute truth, and what that means is each person can develop his own view of truth and based on his intuition and experience. I tell you, you leave me based on what I can come up with my own intuition, my own experience, I'll be in worse shape than anything that you're seeing on TV. Amen? Amen? Constantly I have to be reminded that I have a guidebook. As I love the saying, Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. And I was so excited as I am like you. I hear all this garbage all day long and look what the mama's done with the schools and look what's doing here. I retreated to my Bible later in the week. Look in chapter 4, 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. I came upon this passage, didn't even realize it'd be in my devotion today. I read in 4:12, read with me, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is in you, as though some strange thing happened to you. He's saying, when you hear this stuff, don't start saying, oh, how this has happened. I can't believe this is happening. He says, well, I'm telling you what's going on. Verse 13, but rejoice insomuch as you are a partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Christ is saying, hey, listen, just suffer as I suffer. Suffer through this. Stand on the word. Don't give in. Don't fear Satan. Don't let up your guard. Verse 14 says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. It begins here, y'all. I'm telling you. It begins here. We're either going to stand on this word, and there is a cost for standing on this word for this pastor, for you as a member of this church, the church every day, and it's growing exponentially. I promise you that. I promise you. You'll be. I was amazed. I made a comment just the other day, and you know, y'all, it just grieves my spirit. You know, they say Christian marriages are failing at the, you know, but even worse, or maybe same percentage as a worldly marriage, things are going crazy. But what can you do now? You can go online now, and you can, any one of you, male or female, boy or girl, you can go online today, and you can get certified to be ordained and perform somebody's marriage. Did y'all know that? You can be doing marriage. So I'm making this comment in a setting, and somebody says, oh, I know. Somebody in their family's done it, and says, they're making a killing. They're making a killing doing these marriage services. Y'all, our marriages are so hard anyway. And I told the person when I said that, I said, yeah, you know, who wants the old preacher marrying you? He'll be wanting you to do your marriage according to the Bible. That's what's happening in our world. And you're going to, and the choice is this. We suffer as Christ suffered along with it, or we retreat somewhere else and we don't suffer. Amen? Got a choice. I say it time and time again, if you lose your job because you let your light shine, you speak up for Christ, I'm convinced the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will find you a job. Amen. He looks at the children of God, y'all. Satan looks at the children of God. God's got his eyes upon us. God is protecting us, and God is wanting us to let us celebrate this. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, the Bible says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we won. And what that verse is saying is that you and I, we can have victory over anything Satan. That's why we don't have to fear him. Anything he throws at us is accomplished as Jesus did when Satan attacked him. Just say scripture back to him. Say scripture back to your coworker. Say scripture back to the world. Everything you say, you just give the scripture back. And you just claim the victory in Christ. And Lord, he's coming back one day for us. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, that is your greatest need. If you're old enough to understand what I'm talking about, the Bible says that your father right now spiritually is the devil. But he also says that Jesus died for you and shed his blood, that you can receive forgiveness of your sins and you can be immediately taken out of the hands of the devil and his influence and his temptations and this worldly lifestyle, and you can become a new man or woman, boy or girl in Jesus Christ, a new creation, new victory in Jesus. I want to ask the question this morning, how are you suffering for the gospel? How are you suffering in your life? Some of you need to come to the altar because the answer is you're not. You're not involved. You might make a comment here and there. You might just keep your mouth shut, but you're not involved. You're not suffering. Some of you are suffering. People are watching at work. They're making snide comments to you. Heard it this morning in Sunday school. Y'all going to do that Bible study again today? Maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe you need to join together and realize and just acknowledge to God we have an adversary, but he's given us all the information and tools that we need. The battle's the Lord's, and we want to get the victory. But more importantly, we want to stand. We want to stand as his children, as God's children, and we want to be standing firm and letting our light shine no matter what comes in this world. Maybe God has brought you here, wants you to be a part of the church family. Open our doors, boy. Not only do we welcome you, but we need you. And Lord, just pray that you just guide hearts and your will be done. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.